Hey, I'm Thamie Redwood, host of the podcast Beyond Black History Month. Here's reason number 568 million of why you should be listening. From in-depth reporting on the shortage of black sperm to how one House of the Dragon star is dealing with online trolls who don't love seeing black dragon riders.
I can't lose sleep over that, over worrying about things that are beyond my control.
Listen and subscribe to Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is there something really absurd that skeeves you out?
Getting a paper cut on my eyeball?
A fear you can't shake?
I'm going to leak ocular fluid down my cheeks. It's going to go into my mouth and I will perish.
Whatever scares you, I want to talk about it. Join me, Larry Mullins, on my new podcast, Your Weirdest Fears. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, well, Rocket can. We welcome in the former linebacker at Ohio State. Now does a great job. Big Ten Network. You catch him at a bunch of other places as well. I see him all the time in the field at 12, and that is Joshua Perry. Joshua, how you been?
I'm doing well. It's great to connect up with you again.
Yeah, it's great to have you back on. Who's the better football team? Is it Michigan or Ohio State?
I go 50-50. It depends on which way the wind blows. Depends on what side of the bed I wake up on, honestly. And I mean that so truthfully. I think these are two extremely good football teams. Michigan right now, I think, still has another level left, man, on that offense. J.J. McCarthy has not been fully unleashed. They've been heavily reliant on that run game, which has been stellar and defensively. You can make an argument that this defensive line and the way that they've been playing is – better than what they had a year ago with a couple of first-round talents up there. But the Ohio State Buckeyes, man, C.J. Stroud, 24 TDs against three interceptions. You got Travion Henderson, preseason All-American, but then this Mayan Williams guy shows up. He's averaging 7.7 yards per carry. Jackson Smith and Jigba's down. That doesn't matter. You got Marvin Harrison Jr. You got Julian Fleming. You got Emeka Buka. You got Cade Stover now at tight end. And this is a statistical top 10 total defense in the country. Both of these teams are phenomenal. Either one of them could win that game in Columbus at the end of the year. Either one of them is going to win the Big Ten championship. I don't think there's another challenger out there. And quite frankly, I think both of them look like playoff caliber teams right now.
Do you think there's a chance for both to get into the college football playoff? Because I do think it's inevitable that they're both going to be undefeated when they meet up on Thanksgiving that weekend.
Yeah, I believe the same thing, too, about them being undefeated when they meet up. And they would need some chaos to go down around college football. I know that, folks are very high on Tennessee right now, as they should be, and what they did against Alabama was great. Hendon Hooker, phenomenal talent. Defensively, they need to be helped along. Reminds me a lot of some of the recent Ohio State teams with the defensive challenges, maybe some of the Oklahoma teams under Lincoln Riley with great quarterback play and not great defenses. But you got a couple teams from the SEC in Tennessee and Georgia sitting right there. Clemson, it feels like if they get over this hump with Syracuse over the weekend, they're going to be right in position to make it back to the playoff. Could a UCLA sneak into the conversation out west? We don't know. And TCU's playing some good football right now, too. So to answer your question, a lot of things would have to happen. But, I mean, if we're talking about the best teams and that game, Thanksgiving weekend, is close, and whoever wins that game goes on to win the Big Ten running away, I think it's going to be very hard to say that both of those teams would not be deserving to be in the playoff.
Yeah, what I think probably happens is Clemson's undefeated, so they'll get in. You'll get two SEC teams in, and then it will be one Big Ten school, either Michigan or Ohio State. And it kind of sucks that that could be the case, because we're then talking about maybe no Big 12, no Pac-12 in the college football playoff. And if you look at the depth of those conferences this year, the Big 12 has been really good, and the Pac-12 maybe could be even better than the Big 12.
Totally agree with you. I mean, I look at Big 12 football right now, and it's been totally fun because you know that you're going to get competitive matchups every weekend. TCU has been a fun team to watch, and Oklahoma State's been great to watch. By the way, you got a couple of teams in Kansas that have been extremely fun stories.
Yeah.
And Texas with Quinn Ewers is explosive. And then you go out west, man, and – early on this year, I was down on that conference, especially the way Oregon got their doors blown off by Georgia. But look at that team creeping back into the top 10 of college football. Utah made a statement against USC. I mentioned UCLA. DTR has been great for them. Zach Charbonnet is running all over that conference. Like, there are some really good games going on in the Big 12 and the Pac-12, but when you're talking about the highest end of college football, it really exists in the Big Ten right now. The SEC's got it, and then Clemson out of the ACC is always going to give you some good football.
Joshua Perry, we'll circle back to the Big 12 and the Pac-12 in just a bit, as you have some big matchups there this weekend. But getting back to Michigan and Ohio State, Ohio State's defense, statistically, like you said, have been really good. But when the moment gets the brightest, where's the confidence level going up against that Michigan team with that defense, knowing the way last year that Michigan really bullied Ohio State, and I think their offense for Michigan is even better than what it was a year ago?
Yeah, I think Ohio State has an edge now. I think they're a way tougher team, and that is part of the reason why they've improved so much defensively. I think schematically, too, it's a really challenging defense to game plan for, and it's something that you don't see quite often with a three safety look, and this is a front that goes between a three down front and a four down front, and the linebackers are extremely aggressive, but they play with a lot of discipline. So I think they're way better equipped than they were a year ago to handle what Michigan is bringing, and I know for a fact that this team does not want to be run over again, but when you look at what Michigan did a week ago to Penn State, man, 418 yards.
It was
on
mayhem.
The ground? Are you kidding? Like, I mean, whatever they wanted on the ground, they were going to get. And that is where this game becomes a clash of the Titans to me. Because now you do have a tough Ohio State defense, and albeit they haven't been challenged yet with the competition, that's going to come. And you got this Michigan team that, again, is edgy, and they're playing old-school Jim Harbaugh football. And I believe that this is what people nationally recognize this rivalry to be. And a lot of us want it to be that, and I think we're going to get it this year.
When you look at Ryan Day, he's done a really good job, obviously, at Ohio State, but they haven't won a national championship with him. How much pressure is starting to grow inside the Ohio State community where they know they have a really damn good coach, but they're wondering if that guy can be great and win it all?
I think this is the year that a lot of people are looking at for Ohio State to win the title, being around that program and knowing what the expectations are. Ryan Day made it very clear, too, that his expectation is to win a championship. And he even talked about going 11-2 last year, winning a Rose Bowl, and he had to clean house on half of his staff, and it wasn't good enough. And there were a lot of rumblings around town and people that were disappointed. And that's just the territory right now. Made national championship appearance in 2020 season. I mean, that season was a crapshoot. So it's, people put less weight on that. This seems like a great opportunity because Ohio State is more complimentary than it's been in years past. Again, we mentioned the defense and the improvements there. One of the big things offensively is the run game and how aggressive Ohio State has been on the ground. But also, if you look formationally, Ohio State is getting into 12 personnel, so it's one back, two tight ends, and at times even 13 personnel, which is one back and three tight ends, and they'll motion one of the tight ends into the backfield to play like a fullback. So essentially, two backs, two tight ends. This is big boy, big on big football. They didn't have that in the arsenal a year ago, and that becomes a difference too. Not only is this an explosive, high-flying offense, best-scoring offense in the country, but now it's an offense that says, listen, if we want to slow this game down and we want to punch somebody in the face, we can get that done too.
Do you think it's with 100% certainty that Harbaugh is definitely going to be back next year and maybe he doesn't flirt with the NFL once again this offseason?
I mean, I thought it was a little bit curious last year that he did it, and I understand why. And there was a time to leave. I believe it would have been after the successes that they had a year ago. It was unexpected for me in knowing what he had developed and built within that program. The fact that he's kept it together this year, I think, is one of the big storylines. And if Brett Bielema wasn't coaching the way that he is at Illinois, I think Jim Harbaugh would be the front runner for Big Ten Coach of the Year for just keeping his locker room together. If the opportunity presents itself, I think that's where he ultimately would like to be. But I think he understands how good he has it right now at Michigan. The way that this program is rolling, the national attention they're getting, it seems like every week, the Big Noon Fox crew has been with them, and they're getting that national platform that they've had so much in the past. It just seems like a great situation right now, and it would take a really enticing NFL situation, in my opinion, for him to consider leaving again.
Joshua Perry here with us. You got the whiteout of Penn State this weekend, Minnesota, Penn State. It's expected that Sean Clifford is going to start. Do we eventually see a start for Drew Aller this year? Because I know you want to be loyal to a guy that's been there forever. I think, though, it would help them for next year to start getting Drew Aller on the field a little bit more.
I think for the young player to develop his skill set, especially if you feel like this year you're not going to achieve the things that you set out to, which it seems like competing in the Big Ten Championship would look like it's out. And it's just one loss, right? And it seems like it's doomsday. But the way that other teams are playing around them, I think the writing's on the wall there. So college football playoff would be out of question at that point, too. Maybe you consider it. But I like to frame it like this. Sean Clifford is a tough, gutsy quarterback. I've watched him in many situations go and do the things that he's needed to do for the team to win. You look at week one against Purdue, for that example. Late game situation, marches his team down the field efficiently, throws a touchdown pass under duress. That was great football out of him. What Michigan exposed is not that Sean Clifford can't play at a high level, in my opinion. He struggled in that football game. What it exposed is that offensive line that hasn't been doing him favors for many years did not do him any favors in that game. And that is still an issue for this Penn State team. So I think there's a balance between getting your young quarterback reps and preparing for the future. And also, you don't want to hurt that guy's confidence by putting him out there behind an offensive line that is inconsistent at best. So that will be a difficult decision. And this wideout game between Penn State and Minnesota a couple of weeks ago, man, I would have been licking my chops to watch this one. The shine is off of it, which is a shame because the expectations coming in for these two teams were sky high.
When you take a glance, Joshua Perry at Alabama, they were playing with fire, and then they got burnt last week. They almost still won the game if they just make a kick, and then the defense crumbled in the final 15 seconds. For Bama at the end of the year, like at the end of the conference championship season, how do you think we're talking about Alabama?
I mean, this is the biggest thing that I see with Alabama is it's a team that hurts itself. And I'll also go out on the limb and say they should have lost to Texas. If Quinn Ewers was healthy that whole game, they'd be a two-loss team right now.
Agreed. But and that, if Jimbo calls a better play in the A&M game, they probably should have lost that game too.
I mean, the conversation about Jimbo Fisher as a play caller, I mean, we need to talk about that because he needs to hand the sticks to somebody else, neither here nor there. Totally agree with you. That was an Alabama team that had double-digit penalties against Texas, an Alabama team that had double-digit penalties against Tennessee. The great ones don't do that. And it is so unlike a Nick Saban coach team to be that undisciplined, especially in big games. And so I think that's their biggest issue to me at this point is can you not do things to hurt yourself? And if they can get that part figured out, they're plenty enough talented, and I think that they have a staff that can make enough adjustments. They've got the quarterback. They've got the running back. And even with a wide receiver room that I think is subpar for what Alabama standards are, this is a team that can go out and compete. But if they continue to hurt themselves, it is going to be one of those years that Nick Saban would like to forget about.
If you had to just give me your four teams right now, who are your four teams at the end of the year?
Man, now we're getting into a tough situation. I'm rolling with, and this is not in specific order, I believe Ohio State wins the Big Ten. I don't think that they are going to allow what happened to them in that Michigan game to happen again this year. I'll take Clemson because it feels like once they get over this Syracuse hump, they'll be fine the rest of the season. This is where it gets tricky. I like Georgia out of the SEC. Tennessee, to me, is a tough one because I think that their defense is miserable in the back end. You're talking about 129 in passing defense. They're 102 or something like that. And in total defense, it's not good. But I feel like they could also sneak in there. So give me Ohio State. Give me Clemson. Give me Georgia. And I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'll say that UCLA makes a run and they get in.
Wow. UCLA over Tennessee. Is Chip Kelly back? He's had a great year this year. Last year was a step in the right direction. He's got a team undefeated. Going back home against the Ducks this weekend, what makes you so confident about Chip and the squad that he has?
I think that they have an experienced quarterback who's playing extremely good football right now. He's efficient. He's taking care of the ball. I don't know what his high end is, but whatever he's doing right now, he's starting to maximize himself, and I think that's important. DTR is a game changer. And then I mentioned Charbonnet, what he's been able to do in the run game. So now you have a multifaceted offense. Defensively, they've been solid all year long, too. So going to Oregon is tough, though. Oregon is not a team that loses at home very often. I think they're in the 20s on their home win streak right now. So that's going to be a challenge. But UCLA, I think, is equipped to get it done. And if they do that, they can make a run the rest of the year.
When you get to Texas, Oklahoma State this weekend, how concerned are you with Oklahoma State after blowing that game last week to TCU? And then give me a thought or two about Quinn Ewers and what he needs to do in these final five games to kind of distance himself in the competition in the summer with Arch Manning coming in.
Yeah, so for Oklahoma State, their defense to me is taking a step back, and that's going to be the biggest key in this game because of the guy that you mentioned, Quinn Ewers, and I'll get into him and Sark in just a sec. I'm very nervous for them, and I think that Texas is honestly the better team in this game, that Quinn Ewers is now fully healthy and ready to go. And the combination of Steve Sarkisian, who in my mind is in the running, him, Ryan Day, a couple other guys, as play-calling head coaches, his play calling is ridiculous. And I did a breakdown just because I wanted to see what was wrong with Oklahoma of the Texas-Oklahoma game. And any play that Steve Sarkisian drew up, he had guys running wide open. Every single play, he knows exactly where to attack coverage is. He has a great feel for what's coming from the defense. And now he's got a quarterback in Quinn Ewers who can go out there and execute it at a high level. And I believe this becomes a very sticky situation because Arch Manning is highly touted and he's got great pedigree. Obviously, we know about his family members. But it's going to be hard for Quinn Ewers not to be the guy for the job next year if he just continues to go out there and execute what Steve Sarkisian draws up. To me, it's a pretty simple equation. Is don't make the game too confident for your young quarterback and keep finding ways to get your talent open downfield, and they've done that so far.
Kansas State, TCU, I can't wait for this one coming up 8 p.m. Eastern on Saturday night. What's the difference in that game?
Yeah, so I love Adrian Martinez. It was a pleasure to cover him when he was playing in the Big Ten, and I like the story arc for him right now, being able to go back and have some redemption. Kansas State, not like a high-end team. They do some things really well. I don't think they play football to hurt themselves, but at the same time, when you're talking about TCU and the way that they've been playing right now, it just feels like TCU's got an edge in this one. I've got a close friend who's on the inside of the TCU program, and I texted him a week and a half ago, and I asked, I said, what's the difference for you guys right now? And basically what he said is they've always had good talent in that program. They are maximizing that talent with their strength coach right now, who he believes to be one of the best in America, but also said the change in leadership, and it wasn't a knock on what Gary Patterson was doing, because obviously that guy's legendary around there, but it was just time for a new voice in the front of the room, and that's worked wonders with their players. So I think that this is a team now that also has a purpose and a different motivation, and that is a really hard edge to beat.
Before we let you run, Joshua Perry, when we talk about jobs, Wisconsin, I expect Jim Leonard to get the job. I think you would assume so as well. How about Nebraska? You have a few names that you like for the Nebraska job.
Nope, I have no idea what they're going to do. Do you go with a Leipold and see if you can get a guy who's had experience winning on different levels and has brought a Kansas team? And what a shame that Daniels is hurt right now,
yeah,
because that was a really fun story. But, you know, brought them back to life. Do you maybe end up trying to go for a hot shot coordinator, a guy with less experience, but somebody who you feel like can reinvigorate things with more creativity, a little bit younger, more energy into that program? It's not to say that Scott Frost was an old guy, but it felt like the energy was certainly deflated out of that program. So I don't know how they attack it. And
what about Bill O'Brien?
Well, so this becomes an interesting one, because Bill O'Brien, to me, I think is just a little bit old school. And I know guys who played for him at Penn State that absolutely love him, and he's a guy who knows how to build programs. So from that regard, I think it's spot on. But at a place like Nebraska, I think you gotta be extremely creative to maximize recruiting. Is he a guy who's going to do that at an extremely high level? I'll end you with this on Nebraska. I talked to guys who are currently in coaching and guys who have coached before, and I asked them what they think about the Nebraska job. And I literally get a 50-50 mixed bag from them. Some guys think that it is still the job that it was back in the 90s. Other guys think that Nebraska is just a tough place to be able to have success against the expectations of that program. So whoever takes that job has to understand, eyes wide open, what they're walking into.
Joshua Perry, you always kill when you join us. Appreciate the time. We'll be having you on once again soon, I'm sure.
Just let me know. Appreciate you.
You got it. There's Joshua Perry. I could talk football with him for the entire hour. He is always great when he joins us. We'll come on back, and we'll get to a news.
Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire and with trades and with savvy starter sit decisions. The Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start sit, grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today anywhere podcasts are found.
Hey, I'm Thamie Redwood, host of the podcast Beyond Black History Month. Here's reason number 568 million of why you should be listening. From in-depth reporting on the shortage of black sperm to how one House of the Dragon star is dealing with online trolls who don't love seeing black dragon riders.
I can't lose sleep over that, over worrying about things that are beyond my control.
Listen and subscribe to Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is there something really absurd that skeeves you out?
Getting a paper cut on my eyeball?
A fear you can't shake?
I'm going to leak ocular fluid down my cheeks. It's going to go into my mouth and I will perish.
Whatever scares you, I want to talk about it. Join me, Larry Mullins, on my new podcast, Your Weirdest Fears. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Hickey, I'm going to give you a name. You tell me if either they make a return to college football this year or if this person stays at their current job. You look at some of the jobs that are open, Arizona State, Nebraska, Wisconsin. I think Jim Leonard is going to stay as the, you know, they remove the interim tag, make him the head coach. You're going to have Auburn open up. You know, Georgia Tech is currently open. So that's the kind of outlook of jobs that for now are either open or we expect to open up. Matt Campbell. Is Matt Campbell back next year at Iowa State when you look at this upcoming year?
I will say yes.
I think so, too. And I think Matt Campbell's a good coach. I just don't know if he's a great coach, and here's why. I'm really turned off if he's going to a big school. Like, if he's going to Auburn, if he's going to Nebraska, where you have passionate fans, and the expectations, even though those schools have struggled, they're still going to be sky high. Last year when he was supposed to go win the Big 12 and there were expectations and potential thoughts of going to the college football playoff, at the end of the year he goes, oh, well, those weren't my expectations. That would not resonate properly if he was to take a big leap. Like, he's not going to Arizona State. He's not going to Georgia Tech. But if he was to go to an Auburn or if he was to go to Nebraska or if Wisconsin doesn't go with Leonard and they bring in Jim Leonard, that scares me about Matt Campbell because he did a terrible job with that answer last year.
Very fair. And I wonder if the shine is off. Like, Iowa State the last 2 years have, you know, they've been, they went last year in the preseason as a potential cultural playoff contender. We know they fell flat on their face, and now they've kind of come back down to earth, especially this year. I wonder, especially when you kind of, you know, half of it, fair or not, is kind of like hype.
Remember,
oh, you're
hired? They were talking about him for the Jets.
Yeah, and he
and
said no.
With Matt Rule's lack of success in the NFL, you kind of know how it is copycat in the NFL. I think you wait a little bit for a college coach to jump again to the NFL unless you are Jim Harbaugh, who already has the established success in the NFL, getting to the 3 conference title games and then also the Super Bowl, or if Ryan Day. I think those right now, out of all the coaches in college, I think only 2 could make the jump right now to the NFL. Harbaugh, because he's already been there, and Ryan Day, because he has coached before as he was on Chip Kelly's staffs in the NFL. So I'll give you another name here. Mark Stoops. Does Mark Stoops leave Kentucky after this year? He has made Kentucky a really damn good program.
No, I think he stays.
I don't think there's a job big enough right now open for him. And I think if Mark Stoops didn't leave last year when you had USC open, you had Notre Dame open, you had LSU open, Oklahoma open, especially with those family connections at Oklahoma, I don't see him running to Auburn. I don't see him running to Nebraska. I don't see him running to Wisconsin. Now, if you are one of those schools and you hire Mark Stoops, you hit it out of the park. That is sensational. But I think Mark Stoops is feeling really good at Kentucky because you got to remember, he was able to go toe-to-toe with John Calipari not that long ago when John Calipari called it a basketball school. And we all know it's a basketball school, but he was actually allowed to be mad and vocalize that and make John Calipari basically apologize.
Impossible to do, right?
Is Bill O'Brien back as a head coach in college next year?
I think so.
You do? Where? I could see him at Georgia Tech. I could see him at Georgia Tech or Arizona State. I don't think he gets... Could he go to Auburn? Could he go to Nebraska? Could he? I think Leonard will be at Wisconsin, but could he go to one of those three schools and I think have success? Yes. I see him going to a Georgia Tech or going to an Arizona State. That would be my guess right now with Bill O'Brien.
I still picture him in Nebraska, honestly. I think that would be a good hire for them. I think it would be a good fit for him. That's the one I kind of picture.
Lance Leipold. Now, patience may pay off because what he's done, he has thrown in his name at least in this next 2 to 3 year window of getting a lot of jobs. So you may want to wait until bigger jobs open up. And this is no disrespect to Kansas, but I'm about to say something disrespectful. You know how that works. If I'm Lance Leipold, I'm running at the first opportunity to get out of Kansas. Like, what he's already done is remarkable. I would just get out now if you get one of those bigger jobs if I'm Lance Leipold. Because these coaches take bigger jobs from, I don't want to say Kansas, well, yeah, from smaller schools. And then, in terms of college football success, and they take a job, they're there for a year or two, and then they're quickly going to a different job. Now, I don't know if that's the key to success, and that's what you really want to do. Because, like, you look at a guy like Willie Taggart, and I know it's different. It was USF. He leaves USF, goes to Oregon for 1 year, and the next thing you know, he's at Florida State. And now, I don't even know. Is he still at FAU or FIU or something like that?
I think so, yeah. I think he's still there coaching.
Okay.
I think he's back.
You do?
Barring two things.
FAU is where he's at.
Barring Wisconsin, not going to Jim Leonard, and barring, like, an unforeseen.
I can see him at Nebraska. I know you said O'Brien, not terrible. And I think O'Brien could have success as a college coach. He did a good job at Penn State in tough circumstances. And that's why it could make sense for Nebraska now. Not comparable to circumstances what Penn State went through, but you're looking to have someone bring back a program in Nebraska. I could see Lance Leipold at Nebraska. I really could.
And Nebraska should throw everything possible at him like it's that.
Like, look how he rebuilt Kansas.
Right.
So you can't tell me with more resources you would think of Nebraska that... That you can't just go do that in Nebraska?
Agreed. Absolutely agreed.
But it's more of a care for football, too?
I would just say, like, I could see Wisconsin and, like, I don't know, let's just get crazy. Like, if Mel Tucker gets fired, he's not going to get fired. But, like, one of those crazy off-the-wall fires we didn't see coming. Otherwise, I think he stays for a better job and waits one more year.
Okay. Urban Meyer?
No.
Yeah, I don't think Urban Meyer is coming back to college football either.
No matter how bad Nebraska fans want.
If there is one school, though, who's the one school? Because I have the school in my mind.
Nebraska.
Doesn't it have to be Arizona State? I know that's not a huge job for Urban, but maybe you have to take a step down because of all that did transpire in the last year or two. Kind of feels like it's a free-for-all. Like, I could see, not that I think Urban Meyer is going to Arizona State, but I could see, like, Urban Meyer, or here's one. Wouldn't Ed Orgeron be perfect for Arizona State? Now, you may need some more guidance. You may need some more structure there. But I could see Ed Orgeron, who's recruited everywhere he's gone, going to Arizona State. That's just me, off the cuff.
I'll say this off the cuff. If you're Ed O, don't coach again. He's living the life.
He's single. Honestly, you go out to Arizona State. You got some beautiful women there.
He got $17 million to walk out the door.
And he's let everyone know about that.
A-OK with where he is financially.
Deion Sanders, is he coaching in the Power 5 next year?
I'm going to say no.
Okay. I would love to see Deion Sanders coaching in the Power 5. Is Matt Rhule back in college football next year?
I do think so. I don't think he's going to take a year off. I think he'll bounce back.
Where, though? If you already told me that Wisconsin's going to Leonard and you think Bill O'Brien is getting a Nebraska job, with what Matt Rhule did at Temple and then Baylor, he's bigger than Georgia Tech. Arizona State could... Because he will be able to go there and just build the program the way that he would want to. So is Arizona State in play? Yes, but I feel like with what he did with Baylor down and out, Temple down and out, I feel like it's bigger than Arizona State, I would say.
I think Arizona State's a very good fit because he just came from a very controlling organization in the Panthers where David Tepper, it sounds like, is very hands-on as an owner. Mm-hmm. You go to Arizona State, I would just guess, especially for what he's done in college football, it'd be very laissez-faire. Like you mentioned, he can kind of do what he wants.
And Matt's bizarre also with picking jobs. Like, Matt went to Baylor, he could have got Oregon. And the reason why is because Phil Snow told him, as if you're the coach of Baylor, you could just drive the state and recruit. If you're in Oregon, you have to get a plane everywhere, to go recruit. And you don't want to do that as a coach from time to time. When he went to the Panthers, could have had the Jets year before, could have had the Giants that year, and he teamed up with David Tepper. Now, someone throws you a 7-year contract in front of your face, it makes it a little bit easier to do that. So,
but also, too, he could kind of do what Lance Leipold did. Like, obviously, he has the track record. Just go to Arizona State for like a year or two, and then... we're seeing this cycle, this head coach cycle, just run rampant every single year. You never know what could happen in 2 years.
Now, let me be abundantly clear. I have not talked to Matt Rhule yet about his future. I've talked to Matt Rhule one time since his firing from the Carolina Panthers. We exchanged some messages on the day that he got fired. This is just a pure guess by me. I want to make this abundantly clear that I did not talk to Matt Rhule about his future yet. If I had to take a guess right now, and this is just a guess, I would say Matt Rhule's not coaching next year in college. I think he takes a year off, maybe does TV. Not that there is a stench in college football, but the stench of the Panthers goes away. He'd be very good on TV. And then you re-up next year where maybe the jobs are a little bit richer than what they are this year. Because remember, last year you had LSU open. You had Notre Dame open. You had Oklahoma open. You had USC open. You had big-time jobs open. So there's not going to be as many big-time jobs open this year. And I think there's a lot of guys this year that are on the hot seat, but they'll be back next year because of their contract. And I think you'll wait one more year if you're Matt Rhule. But you know how these coaches are. They either get fired from one place and then very rarely, when it may behoove them to sit out a full year, do they actually sit out a full year. So if he's back in college, would I be shocked? No, next year. Do I think 100% right now that he will be back in college next year? No. If I take a guess right now, and it's just purely a guess, I would say he takes a year off. That's just me. Because what he did at Temple and Baylor, those are big-time turner. I had 2 10-win seasons at Temple, and at Baylor, they were down and out after the whole Art Briles situation. One win the first year, and then in his final year, the Big 12 championship game and a Sugar Bowl. I just don't think the big-time jobs, Arizona State is intriguing, but I don't think he's at Auburn. If Wisconsin doesn't go Leonard, absolutely. Nebraska, I would say, intriguing as well. And I heard Ack whisper in there. So I will then play into what Ack just said. Franklin just signed Penn State, the old AD, they signed Franklin to a stupid 10-year extension. The new AD of Penn State, Pat Kraft and Matt Rhule, are very close friends. But I was reading into that Franklin contract because Matt Rhule grew up in New York City and then also State College as well, and he played as a walk-on on Penn State. Penn State would be a good fit for Matt Rhule, but I don't get how they get out of that James Franklin contract anytime soon because the buyout is massive, and there's a lot of guaranteed money tied up to that contract. Like, what is it, $8 million a year or something like that, Higgy?
It's very high. I think he is safe through 2024. I think he's tied to this current recruiting class.
Aller,
It was sixth in the country. They're a true freshman right now. If you can't win by the time they're juniors and most of them go to the NFL, and we're sitting here talking about kind of the same old Penn State and James Franklin, got to move on.
Franklin is a tremendous recruiter. I do not think he is a great in-game coach. So if we're sitting here 2 years from now talking about Penn State came up short with all this talent, that would not surprise me in the slightest, but Matt Rhule's not going to wait 2-3 years for James Franklin to fail in order to wait to take a job, you would think.
Hey, I'm Thamie Redwood, host of the podcast Beyond Black History Month. Here's reason number 568 million of why you should be listening. From in-depth reporting on the shortage of black sperm to how one House of the Dragon star is dealing with online trolls who don't love seeing black dragon riders.
I can't lose sleep over that, over worrying about things that are beyond my control.
Listen and subscribe to Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire and with trades and with savvy starter sit decisions. The Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start sit, grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today anywhere podcasts are found.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
This season, for the first time, you can hear every Westwood One NFL broadcast stream live for free. Mondays, Thursdays, Sunday nights, the International Series, holiday triple headers, and every postseason game. Catch all the action on the Odyssey app, on westwoodonesports.com, via Westwood One station streams, or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports, all sponsored by AutoZone. Free battery testing, free battery charging, replacement batteries that fit your needs. That is what makes AutoZone America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Another day, another Russell Wilson quote. Let's listen up to Mr. Unlimited.
Feeling better every day. Day by day. Obviously, it happened Monday night, but I heal quick. I don't know if it's Wolverine blood or what, but getting better.
So he has a shoulder injury and also a hamstring injury. Is there anyone more cringeworthy right now in the NFL than Russell Wilson? That laugh was such a fake, forced laugh where he's trying to make a funny, but it's not really funny. No one else reacted. And then you're like, oh, nothing could go right for me these days.
Two things. How many times did he practice that joke in the mirror? How many different animals did he use before he settled?
That's the best question that you've ever asked me. How many times have you ever practiced that in front of the mirror? Infinity.
Because that laugh sounded like he like was like...
That's a guy that loves looking at himself in the mirror.
Oh, yeah.
Now, he's a good-looking dude, don't get me wrong. But he loves himself these days. You see the new Subway commercials?
Unfortunately.
I think I should try to do that. I'll come on in with a black coat, leather coat. Get a Subway sandwich, put the sunglasses on indoors.
I think he had biker gloves on too, if I'm not mistaken.
He did.
What would your sandwich name be? This is the Danger Witch. You got to do something
you can't go the Gelba Witch or something. I don't know.
The Zach Attack Witch.
No. The Zaxter Snackster or something like that. I don't know.
Not terrible.
I would not be a tool to name a sandwich after myself.
And then do worse commercials.
Yeah. The Danger Witch. What is that? Give you food poisoning these days?
Well, it might. That's a danger.
Upset stomach, indigestion, diarrhea. Move over Pepto-Bismol. You want all that? Or maybe you should also do an endorsement for Pepto-Bismol. Because when you eat the Danger Witch, you're going to need some of that pink stuff.
Or when you're watching the Broncos offense.
Yeah.
Works both ways.
You need one of those puke bags on the airplane, too. Jason Kelce says Tom Brady's the only QB that is allowed to yell at offensive linemen. This courtesy of the New Heights Show. This is the podcast that Jason and Travis Kelce do together.
Tom yells at me, I'm probably not going to say nothing neither. But playing O-line's hard. If there's one thing I do not like, it is quarterbacks getting into offensive linemen. Like, bro, I am doing the best I can, brother. Up out of my face. I will put you in that trash can over there if you don't shut the up. The last thing I want is a motherfucker that can't get hit, or it's called roughing the passer, to come up to me and tell me how to wrestle somebody every play. Get the fuck out of here.
Ooh.
You know this? Everyone in the media is going to be trying to find the next Pat McAfee. Now, there won't be ever be another next Pat McAfee. Like, that's one of the top five voices right now in sports media. If you want to talk about a player, and Kelsey's a lot more well-known in his playing career than Pat McAfee was, but if you want to talk about a player that doesn't get enough love, and Kelsey's a Hall of Famer, he's a great offensive lineman, but Nashville doesn't get the love that he should, he's a lineman. I think Jason Kelsey's going to be a media superstar when he retires. And he's already setting himself up for that with this podcast, which has been excellent. Robert Hainsey of the Buccaneers says he has no problem with Tom Brady yelling at the offensive line.
Everyone can call it what they wanted, but I want nothing more. I want nothing else in a quarterback than that, than the guy who's willing to tell us what we need to do and step up. And he's just sit over there and not get us going and not try to help us. He wouldn't be who he is today. So I love that from him. And I know we all love that from him. It might look weird on TV, but that's football, and it's a team sport, and that's what you want from great teammates and great leaders, and he's the best there is.
And let's hear from Tom Brady. He says his frustration is about the poor play, not about regretting coming back to Tampa Bay.
Well, that's really why I'm here. I'm here to announce, finally, you guys pushed me to the brink. And, no, I think, you know, I think a lot of it for me is just us going out there to, you know, I love the sport, and I love the teammates, you know, I want to go do a great job for this team like I always have, so. No retirement in my future.
Yeah, Brady's not retiring in season. That's like the dumbest take that I've ever heard. Aaron Rodgers on if he still loves playing football.
I live for this. I wake up in the morning thinking about this. I go to bed at night dreaming about what plays I can make up and piss Matt off. And this has been my love since I was 5 years old, and still love waking up every day knowing I'm coming in at 12:65.
Was that a little passive aggressiveness by Aaron Rodgers? Was that taking a shot at Matt LaFleur, or was that him just making a joke and understanding what the narrative is, that maybe some people think they're at odds because Rodgers says simplify the offense and LaFleur goes, I don't even know what the heck that means?
I think it's more of a joke.
I would too. I just think Rodgers' delivery is very, very dry.
Also, anytime he speaks, it's always worth questioning if he's taking a subtle shot at someone. Half the time he is.
He's on the psychedelics again.
Also true.
You know, very calm guy these days. Cliff Kingsbury says DeAndre Hopkins coming back after his suspension tonight brings a huge boost to the offense.
You know, when he's out there, like I said all along, he puts a pep in everybody's step with just his energy. And, you know, he's always talking, very competitive. So I think it starts there. And there's just been a level of confidence that I think players and coaches feel when he's out there, that he's a guy that in any moment you get it close to him, he can make a play.
Well, let's hope that offense finally has some life. And we know Hopkins, how great he could be, and it seems whenever he's out of lineup, the Cardinals' offense stinks. So you would expect there to be a jolt tonight. Now, you're going up against a Saints team that once again has, like, no one healthy. You got to think the Cardinals win this game tonight, right?
If they don't, I mean...
Fire everyone.
I was just going to... at home, short week, best player or second best player back.
Best player.
You can't lose this game. Being 2-4, oh.
It is Zach Gilb Show on CBS Sports Radio. That's a news brief. Real quickly, we were talking about potential names that could be in new places next year. What about Lane Kiffin? Done a really good job at Ole Miss. I feel like Ole Miss has a limit. He does feel like he's a coach that has to be, though, in the SEC. Unless there is just a mega, mega, mega brand outside of the SEC. As much as I like Wisconsin and I like and Nebraska used to be a mega brand, I don't think Lane Kiffin's going to Wisconsin or Nebraska. Auburn going to be open? I could see Lane jumping ship in conference and going to Auburn, where he'll have more resources. And not that you expect to win a national championship at Auburn, but he goes to Auburn. I feel like he can win an SEC championship, where at Ole Miss, I don't think he's ever going to win an SEC championship.
I think you're right. I really want him to stay at Ole Miss. I think he's good there.
Fun.
And I like the parity of adding another like legitimate program to the conference, but you're right. The resources, the fan intensity, when Auburn opens up, I think they'll make a run at him, and I think he'll go.
This is Zach Gilb Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we come on back, the hottest team in the NFL,
the Philadelphia Eagles. You know what makes them the hottest team in the NFL? They haven't lost a game yet. They're 6-0. They're in their bye week. Hassan Reddick from Camden went to school with me at Temple. Is going to join us on the other side. Has done a wonderful job of that Eagles defense. We'll do a little Fly Eagles Fly next with Hassan Reddick of them Birds when the Zach Gilb Show continues in 5 minutes.
Hey, I'm Thamie Redwood, host of the podcast Beyond Black History Month. Here's reason number 568 million of why you should be listening. From in-depth reporting on the shortage of black sperm to how one House of the Dragon star is dealing with online trolls who don't love seeing black dragon riders.
I can't lose sleep over that, over worrying about things that are beyond my control.
Listen and subscribe to Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire and with trades and with savvy starter sit decisions. The Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start sit, grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today anywhere podcasts are found.
Hey, I'm Thamie Redwood, host of the podcast Beyond Black History Month. Here's reason number 568 million of why you should be listening. From in-depth reporting on the shortage of black sperm to how one House of the Dragon star is dealing with online trolls who don't love seeing black dragon riders.
I can't lose sleep over that, over worrying about things that are beyond my control.
Listen and subscribe to Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.